the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, please. Scripture reading will be taken from verse 12 through 21 this morning. I'm glad we have a Bible that we can trust. It's inspired, infallible. And for all of you who don't know what that means, that just means it's perfect. And God's kept it intact, and I'm glad it is. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you to God, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful passage. Father, I pray that you would please speak to our hearts, challenge us anew. Lord, we pray for those without Christ, this might be the day they receive Christ as Savior. Lord, do a work in this place that only you can do, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, be faithful.
You know, love is a strange emotion. You can't define it. You can't eliminate it. You can't stop it. Strange thing about love, though, is, you know, love does not discriminate between that which is good and that which is not good. For example, you can love a lot of the wrong things, or you can love a lot of the right things. And in this passage of Scripture, we find that Jesus Christ is certainly outlined for us in His Word the motivation for service. Our theme this year has been serving. We're about serving the Lord, serving the Savior, serving Jesus Christ. What motivates us? What moves us? What causes us to want to serve the Lord? What is it that makes me want to do what I do? Well, one man said it best, and I think he communicates it very well when he says this. He says, you know, I serve the Lord because, or I'm in the ministry, not because I love people, but because I love the Lord. Amen. That says it all. Because the truth of the matter is, if we understand something about serving and the motivation to serve, we also understand that we can love to serve, but then there are times that when you love to serve, and your service and your love for service may wane, or you actually may not even want to serve. You may choose not to. Paul says it like this. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You know what that means? Preach when you don't want to preach. And preach when you want to preach. Preach when they don't want to hear, and preach when they do want to hear. Remember reading in the Scriptures when Elijah, the great prophet of God, when he'd gotten to the place in his ministry when he had a great high point in his ministry, and then God allowed things to come into his life, and Jezebel sent out a death notice that his head was going to be on a platter really soon. At that point, Elijah didn't want to serve anymore. In fact, the Bible said that, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He said, you know, I love to serve, but not now. I don't want to. I'm ready to give it up. In fact, I'm ready to die. But can I show you something really, really fascinating in this passage? Go down to verse 14 for just a moment. You've got to see this. And if you miss everything else from the message, don't miss this one. Notice what it says. There's a difference between loving and the love of Christ. You see, the love of Christ defines what kind of love we're talking about here. And here's what Paul says. Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth me. I look at the word constrain. I want to know, what does he mean by that? The love of Christ constraineth me. It has the idea of arresting. It has the idea of capturing. You know, the place where you're held captive. You can't get loose. You can't break away from it. That's the idea. And what Paul's saying is that it's the love of Christ that captures me, that locks me up, that I am constantly held under the control of the love of Christ. That's the idea. I mean, it's captivating. It just does that to you. You know, I've had some times in my life when I've been captivated with certain things. You know, I'll never forget when I went to New Mexico for the very first time. My wife and I, when we'd come out there, we were doing a survey trip about coming west, and that's where my first ministry was. When I came out west, I went and I became an assistant pastor. I'll never forget that we were coming across Texas, and we went through across the United States of Texas. You guys know what I'm talking about? From one side to another. I thought, I'm never going to get out there. It took a day and a half to go across Texas. And I remember when we came across, we got into the New Mexico, and we began to drop down in. We came to an area, it was called Cloudcroft. Anyone ever been to Cloudcroft, New Mexico? It's the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. I was just in awe. I just sat there and I said, wow, I've never seen anything like this. It was captivating. I just know that there are times in our life when we can be so captivated by something that nothing else matters. There's a legend that is told about a traveler who was a merchantman that traveled through the Mediterranean world, and he was looking for the distinguished Pharisee by the name of Paul. He encountered Timothy as he arrived for his visit. Paul was at that time a prisoner in Rome. Stepping inside the cell, the merchant was surprised to find a rather old man, physically frail, but whose serenity and magnetism challenged the merchant man. They talked for hours, and the merchant man left with Paul's blessing as he walked outside the door of the prison. He asked the man, what was the secret of Paul's power? I've never seen anything like it before. The man answered with a strange answer. He says, Paul's in love. He's in love. Don't understand that. Yes, Paul's in love. He's in love with Jesus Christ. The merchant man responded with, is that all? And Timothy responded back, that's all there is. That's everything. Can I remind you of this? To serve Jesus Christ, when we understand the motivation is the love of Christ, we are so captivated by His love, we can't help but do what God has asked us to do. When I was 16 years old, I had no idea. I had not grown up in church. I had no idea of anything about the Bible, the Word of God. I knew nothing, but I knew that I'd start reading my Bible when I got saved. And I thank God for that. That was the greatest decision ever made in my life. And I remember reading my Bible, and I remember opening it up, and I was reading through, and I'd come across different passages in the Bible, and just not understanding a lot, like probably some of you perhaps when you first got saved. Didn't understand a lot of things. I didn't know what romance meant. I had no idea what all of this was about. I come across justification and redemption, and I had no idea what redemption was. I just knew a coupon said redemption. I didn't understand how that worked in the Bible. That's how much I knew. But I did know this. The more I read it, the more the reality of Jesus Christ and what He did for me came in my life. And I'll never forget, as a 16-year-old boy, after 2 years reading my Bible, sitting there, and I opened up John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I'll never forget reading through that passage of Scripture in John. And I got to that place where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I begin to think, thank God He loved me. And by the way, He loves you. You know that. He loves you so much He was willing to die for you. And for that moment, I had to stop. And I remember I began to meditate on that. He died. for me? Christ died for you. He died for me. And I remember reading down in verse number 17, I got to verse number 18, and it says that Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but those who have not received Christ are already condemned. And it just broke my heart. I thought, wait a minute, let me go back up and reread that again. It was at that point God spoke to my heart about going into ministry. Because the love of Christ captivated me. And I want to tell you, when, you know, here's what I'm convinced of, and don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching to you, all right? Trying to help you. But I believe the reason why we don't do as much for Christ as we should is because we're not captivated with His love. The reason why people don't serve is because they're not captivated with His love. They're more wrapped up in something else in their life. And Paul says, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's the love of Christ that moves me. And let me tell you this, you can love the wrong things, but when you're captivated with the love of Christ, you can't help but want to do something for Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to you about how this affects us. Because Paul gives us three aspects of this love of Christ. This love of Christ, letter number one, or you can write this down, it's in your notes there. This love of Christ creates godly desires. It creates godly desires. Verse number 16, Paul begins to talk about a new relationship. All of this begins the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, up to the point when I was a teenager, and I can only tell you about what happened to me, and I'll tell you a little bit what happened to Paul, but as on my journey and where I was going, I got to the place where, you know, man, I'm going to be a coach, a football coach. I happen to be a football nut. I mean, everything was about football. I'm from a football state. West Virginia, it's all about football there. And I remember, that was my goal, man. I wanted to be a football coach. I was going to coach the 49ers one day. They need some help. I just thought I'd help out, you know. In fact, I thought I would apply, you know. Just think of the tithe on that. Wouldn't that be nice? But I remember, as a young boy, that was my goal until the love of Christ captivated me. And when He got a hold of my heart, He created a new desire in my life. Paul knew something about that on the road to Damascus. Paul's on the road to Damascus. He was going to stop those who were preaching Jesus until he saw Jesus Christ and he was captivated by His love. No longer was he fighting against them. Now he was on their side. New desires. You have new desires. God creates within that a godly desire that was no longer there because of the relationship that begins the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know about you, but today, I want you to know I have some new desires. We who know Christ, we understand that our lives are changed the moment we receive Him. Isaac Newton said these words, "I was once blind, but now I see." Paul says it like this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." See, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we begin a new relationship. But then secondly, there's a new walk. My walk is different. All of a sudden, now that I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Christ, I have a different walk. You see, the Bible says in verse number 17, can I get you to go with me and look at that, please? "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, all of a sudden, there's new things going on in my life. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That is, what I want now is what I used to not want. Now I want. I want to know more about Christ. I want to know more about His Word. I want to be in church. I want to be around God's people. I want to sing the songs. I want to honor the Lord with my life. That is that which God has developed and made in my life because He's created desire for that. You see, the Bible says that I just want that in my life. And since likeness is nearness, the more I'm like Christ, the more I'm going to be like Christ. I want to desire to be like Christ. The more we love Christ, the greater our desires for God will grow, and the greater that godly desire will come in my life. It is illustrated like this. I remember when I was a child, my dad used to have a recliner. You guys remember the old recliners that just went back like so far? And they were vinyl. The kind that if you sat on them, your skin stuck to the vinyl. You know what I'm talking about? You guys remember those? Now, some of you are too young to know anything about that. You know, you're used to the overstuffed chairs. They didn't have overstuffed chairs in those days. But I remember they had a vinyl recliner. And it only goes back so far. And my dad would sit in his vinyl recliner. And I said, and so one Christmas I said, I want a vinyl recliner like my dad. And I got one. Because here's what happened. My dad would sit in his vinyl recliner and drink those 5-cent Coca-Colas. You guys remember the 5-cent Coca-Colas? And I got a 5-cent Coca-Cola and I sat in my recliner next to my dad. And we watched the Cincinnati Reds play baseball on our black and white television set. We got a color when you got that little, you know, you went out and you bought that little thing. It was a, and you put on front of it. My dad said, we got a color TV set now. We went out and we bought this little, I think it was like a glass thing. It was painted blue at the top and brown at the bottom. And something in between, and you stuck it on the front of your black and white. Now it's a color TV set. Am I connecting with some of you? Some of you understand this. Some of the rest of the kids are like, I have no idea what he's talking about. You just haven't lived, let me tell you. But I remember I sat there, and my dad sat a certain way, and I sat a certain way. And I wanted to be like my dad. And the more I hung around my dad, the more I'm like my dad. In fact, my wife even says to this day, you're just like your dad. I don't think that's a bad thing. My mom even told me the other day, she told me this week, you're just like your dad. You have a lot of the same characteristics. Guess what? Nearness is likeness. And the more you're near God, the more you'll be captivated by His love, the more you'll be like Him. And God says here that this love of Christ creates a godly desire. You know, the reason why some people desire the world is because nearness is likeness. They hang around the world too much. They get close to the world, they kind of start thinking like the world, and they start acting like the world, they start, you know, they're worldly. But if you get in love with Christ, the Bible says, you'll have a desire to be like Christ. Paul says, I can't help but I'm captivated by the love. And it's that which motivates me that I'm willing to be beaten and to be in shipwreck and to go through suffering and torment and difficulty and rejection. I'm willing to go through all that. That doesn't bother me because I love Jesus Christ. He's captured my attention. He's captured my love. I love Him. And would today we had some people that are like that. God's looking for some more Pauls. God's looking for some people that would love Him, that would allow this love to create a godly desire in their life, in their heart. This is why the world does not understand our love for godly things. I've had people tell me, why in the world do you want to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And my only response to this is the reason why you want to go to the bar and get drunk on Friday night and Saturday night. Because I love Christ more than I love liquor. In fact, I don't love liquor. You get my point? It's what you love. Hey, I'm preaching today. Hey, we need to be in love with Christ. When you have the love of Christ, He captivates you, you'll have godly desires. Paul says, that's what motivates me. That's what moves me. But that's the first. Let me give you the second. Write this one down. The love of Christ gives us proper discretion. Proper discretion. It helps me to make decisions. That's what the idea of discretion is. It's examining the facts and making proper decisions. About what? Two aspects. Number one, about Christ. When I think about this, that means that I understand that I have to have a new viewpoint about Jesus Christ. The world needs to know about Christ, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it helps me to understand that. I have a new viewpoint about Jesus Christ the moment I got saved. He wasn't just somebody I read about or somebody I thought about from time to time or a great teacher or just a person that lived on the earth or a prophet, but He became my personal Savior. And Paul says that the love of Christ gives me proper discretion, verses 14 and 15, because that's what moves me from within to serve. The world may laugh at me while I'm down here serving, but inside I know that's the love of Christ that moves me. You see, when man looks at Christ and sees all that he's done for the world, how can it not help but touch his heart? When you realize that what Christ did by dying on the cross, that's what Paul says. When I realize that not only did He die on the cross 2,000 years ago for those people, but He died for the sins of the whole world today. It can't help but move me. It can't help but have an effect on me. And so my discretion, it gives me a proper understanding. It helps me to discern and say, if Jesus Christ did that for them, He did that for me and for everybody around me, including my children, including my grandchildren, including my cousins, including my parents. So it gives me a proper discretion, but it also gives me proper discretion about myself. When I begin to examine Christ and what He did on the cross and how He loved me, it's at that point I begin to realize who I really am. I'm just a sinner. Today, every one of us in here, we're sinners. We are sinners, and the Bible says we're in need of a Savior. And Christians, you know, we need to realize how blessed we are that we're sinners. Saved by grace. Thank God He saved us. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not out here in the world and I don't have any hope. I'm glad that I'm saved. You see, the truth of the matter is we need to realize who we are. We're just sinners saved by grace. There's nothing great about us. I love that story. When I was a kid, we read the story by Jonathan Swift called Gulliver's Travels. You guys ever read the story? Remember the story? Gulliver was this mythical character that landed on an island of Lilliputians, little people. And this giant landed on this little island, and he was like knocked out. And so all these little people came from all over and began to tie down this little giant, or this big giant, these little people. And so they went and they tied him down everywhere, and they wanted to tie him down to where he couldn't move because they were afraid that if he got up, things were going to be really bad. And so he woke up and hear all these little people running around trying to tie him down, and they were walking all over him. And he woke up and he looked around and he realized all these little people, and they all had their own little kingdom, and they all thought how powerful they really were, how they could handle this, and all he did was just simply raise up, and the strings broke because he was that powerful. And all the people that thought they were so great in the kingdom realized that they weren't that great. There's one greater. And can I tell you this? There is one greater. We need to realize who we are and who He is. And Paul said, when you're captivated by the love of Christ, you realize who you are and you realize who He is. Isaiah said it this way, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord, the King of glory. In other words, what he's saying is this, I realize who God is, and I realize who I am, and I realize how needy that I am of him. And it's because of the love of Christ, I realize that, and it's changed my life. So God says, if you want to know what motivates me, it's the love of Christ. How does that affect me? What is it about that love of Christ? What does it do for me? Well, it gives me proper discretion. That proper discretion moves me, creates godly desires in my heart. And those godly desires causes me to want to do something for Him. I want to do something for Him because of what He's done for me. But then there's one more, the love of Christ. The love of Christ determines eternal destiny. You say, what do you mean? Well, look, if you would, please. That's supposed to be verse 19. Look at verse 18 and 19 with me, please, would you? The Bible says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Here's what he says. The love of Christ does something. The love of Christ, to every person who's ever been saved, including those of us who are in this room, the love of Christ has given to us a responsibility. And so first and foremost, there must be an understanding that there's an acceptance of the responsibility. You have it and I have it. God's given that to us. We are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That means everywhere I go, I'm to be an ambassador. That means that I just want to be an ambassador. I want to tell people about Christ everywhere I go. I want to hand out tracts. I want to invite people to church. I want to tell them about what Jesus did. I want people to know what Christ did in my life. Look, you don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to have a bachelor's degree to be able to tell people about Christ. Just tell them what God did in your life. Everywhere I want to go, I want to tell people. That's my responsibility. You see, I think we get the idea that, you know, we give missions, and that's what we pay our missionaries to do that. Oh, no, that does not eliminate your personal responsibility. It is your responsibility. No, the staff, they'll do their job, but you didn't hire staff. The staff is not working here to get paid to do what you're supposed to be doing. Everybody in here is supposed to be a soul winner. Oh, me. All of us. We're to hand out tracts. We're to tell people about Christ. We're to do. Let me ask you a question. What did you do this week to keep someone out of hell? What did you do? That's preaching. Are you willing to accept the responsibility? The truth of the matter is you have it whether you accept it or not. Every one of us in here need to realize this is our job. This is why we're here. I mean, we're not here just to say like, okay, now that I'm saved, thank God I'm saved, so that's it. Now, I just kind of enjoy my salvation, until I die. Now, we're here so that we can be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're in another country telling people, because our home is in heaven, we're an ambassador from another country telling people about our King, and that's Jesus Christ. That's our job. And the Bible says that love of Christ determines eternal destiny for those around me.
I'm concerned for those around me. I want people to be saved. I want my neighbor to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want those who I brush shoulders with in the community, I want them to be saved. We're to be engaged in telling the world about Jesus Christ and about the cross and what he did and how he died and how he's buried, and thank God he rose again. We did that last week as a church, but we're to do that individually as people. Sometimes I think people are afraid of the reality of the condition. But the truth of the matter is, God's grace enables everyone to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Aren't you glad you can be saved by God's grace? Amen. Then there's number two, there's the preaching of truth. You see, if we're talking about eternal destiny, what is going to matter? Is it going to be the fact that we promote our church? No, we're not to promote our church. We're to promote the Christ of our church. We're to preach the truth. The Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. See, I want to preach Christ. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm going to preach the cross of Christ. It's that which matters. Look, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again the third day. We're to preach him and nothing else. Rather than the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, the Bible says. But then also there's a third. Verse 21 answers and puts it all into perspective right at the end. I like how Paul does it. He takes from verse 14, he goes all the way down to verse 21. At the end of verse 21, he says, this is the prime motivation. Look what it says in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. You know what it says? This is what he did. This is it. He died. The outcome of his death is the fact that you and I can be righteous. In other words, we can be acceptable in God's sight through the work of Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Do you know Christ? Do you know that everything's right between you and God? Do you know that you have been forgiven? If not, the Bible said God did that for you and for me. See, it's not joining a church. It's not getting baptized. It's not doing a lot of good things. It's we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and him alone. Look, why do we serve Christ? Well, we serve Christ because of the love of Christ. I don't serve just because I love people. I don't serve just because I love to be in front of people. I don't serve because I love to just help somebody. I serve because of the love of Christ. Now, I do enjoy serving people and helping people. I do enjoy that. I do enjoy helping lead people and helping people through difficulties. I do enjoy that, but the love of Christ is my motivation. And Paul said the motivation for every servant and those who serve. And you might say it this way, what does that mean to me? Well, it means this. You'll serve Christ when you don't want to, because you have the love of Christ. You're so captivated. Look, when I met my wife, I was captivated with her. Honestly, we met the first time, I was just captivated. Haven't gotten over it yet. And maybe words, when I get to my 67th anniversary, I'll still feel the same way. I trust I will. Captivated. I am. My life has never been the same. But more important of all, knowing Christ captivates you. That when sowing night rolls around, you can't help but want to come out and tell somebody. He's done it for you. You want to tell somebody. That when people don't understand, you're still captivated by his love. It doesn't matter if they understand or not, because you love him anyway. That when you come to church, you get up and come, and even when you don't feel like it, you come because you're captivated by His love. The motivation. What should I do? I answer those four questions for you. Number one, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've not done that, receive Christ today. Number two, let God create a new desire in your heart. Maybe there's some desires in your heart that aren't right. Maybe it's because you're too near the world and not close to God. Make a decision right now that you're going to be where you need to be. Number three, develop a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Love Him. Get to know Him and fall in love with Him all over again. And then fourthly, find a place where you can serve the Lord through this church. We'd love to have you. We need plenty of workers. You say, well, I'm not that good. Neither am I. That's where the grace of God comes in. Amen. God takes us right where He is. Now, to serve, there's things that involves. If you've been saved but not scripturally baptized, you need to take care of that. We're going to have a baptism tonight. Two ladies are going to get baptized tonight. I'm excited about that. We can baptize you too. If you're saved and been baptized and not a member, I want you to come and join. Because you can't serve until you're a member. And then if you're a member and you're ready to serve, then find that place where God wants you. May God use you. Oh, listen. That's what moves us. Our theme, serving the Savior. Let God motivate you. It's the love of Christ. Let Him capture that love in your heart once again. Heavenly Father, Lord, today, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Lord, I can't help but believe that You've spoken to some hearts today. Lord, there might be some people that are here in this room that have never trusted Christ. Oh, Father, I pray You'd save them today. Lord, do a work in their life and their heart that only You can do. Lord, I pray they come and trust You as Savior. Speak to them, we pray. And then, Lord, I pray for those who are saved, but yet, Lord, maybe they've allowed their love to be taken away because of maybe they've followed after the wrong things. Father, create a new desire in their heart. May we once again love You as we should. Lord, capture us once again. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Now,